are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, February the 12th, and talking D. Rose today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word of the Locked On Pistons podcast. A little bit different of an episode today. We have an interview that I'm excited to share with you guys with Chris Dorsey, a big Derrick Rose fan in the city of Chicago, and we're going to talk to him, and we went a little long, and I figured we're just going to share the whole thing because I enjoyed talking to Chris and giving him his say as kind of an unofficial spokesman of the Derrick Rose fan club. He's still out in Chicago following the Pistons now. He says he's a bigger Derrick Rose fan than a Chicago Bulls fan, so he's in the family here in the Pistons Nation as well, and he's not the only one. There's all sorts of people supporting Derrick Rose out there that he's a bigger something that they root for more than maybe their team, and not just Chicago people. There's guys all over the country that are big Derrick Rose supporters, maybe some of the formative years, like Chris Dorsey talked about with the Michael Jordan years, just like me with the Bad Boys, and some of you guys younger with the going to work era. You kind of just get connected to your sports players and your sports teams, and that's just how it goes. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But just the housekeeping situations here. First, the Pistons in action tonight against the Orlando Magic. And by the way, Derrick Rose and Sfi Mikhailiuk probable to return from injury, both of them with some hip situations that they've been dealing with or growing, I believe, as well. Derrick Rose pulled out of the skills challenge this weekend for All-Star, and it was reportedly because of injury situations back home in Chicago. Would have been a nice homecoming for him. Sfi Mikhailiuk still in the rookie stars, or the rising stars challenge. Some of the guys have pulled out of that and been replaced, but nothing, no word on Sfi pulling out. So it sounds like, especially if he goes tonight against Orlando, that he'll be good to go in All-Star weekend on Friday night in the Rising Stars Challenge. Obviously good to get some Pistons representation. And it's, you know, a glorified pickup game, for better or worse. So certainly he won't be getting in too much of a defensive stance and putting high taxing onto his body in that game. More of a showcase exhibition type of thing. Sfi will probably throw up some bombs, and we'll see how he does. Maybe he can shine a little bit for the Pistons. Would be nice to see. But like I said, we're going to talk to Chris Dorsey in a little bit here. Wanted to kind of give my backstory on Derrick Rose, and been thinking about it since I made the call last week, I believe, to the Rose, and we're calling him Rose Stands today for the very last time on the Locked On Pistons podcast, because did a little soul searching and thought about it, and it's a common term, it's out there. I didn't invent it, but it's not a derisive name to as it started, and it's obviously from the Eminem Stan song, I think, is how it all kind of got connected. And just people who are really vociferous in their defense and adoration of different players or different teams or even musical artists or whatever the case is where the word came from. But I think with Rose Stans, it carries a negative connotation, in that there's people like me and people out there maybe like you who kind of use it to throw a blanket on a group of people who are sometimes a little harsh. And I think that some of the Rose fans out there would probably own up to the fact that they're kind of like really defending their guy, and they're really out there looking for fights in some ways, looking for arguments to get on the internet. So like I said, I just kind of wanted to let the biggest Rose fans out there that I could find have their day and have their time here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. It's overdue. It's something that I should have done right when Derrick Rose was signed, because he's obviously such a big personality and big part of the last decade plus of basketball culture here in these United States. So, and really globally, worldwide as well, a big guy known across the planet, and really overdue for us to kind of go back into time. And I know that if you're like me and you listen to Chris kind of talk about some of the old times and his birth and growth as in turning into the MVP type of player that he became at a very young age for the Chicago Bulls. It was a little bit of an education for me because you remember those times, but they're not in the front of your mind as a Pistons fan. And for him to kind of talk about some of the injuries or some of the playoff triumphs that he had, you know, his situation coming out of Chicago and how highly rated of a recruit he was and who else was the big names around that time going into college. I enjoyed the chat, and I thought it was a little bit eye-opening for me, or not eye-opening in a sense that I learned something that was super profound, but just to kind of go back and do some of those Jags. You know, if you listen to this show, that I sometimes go a little bit to some weird history lessons. So we're doing kind of one of those in some ways and letting the Big D Rose fans have their say, but just kind of a little bit of a personal backstory. This is a time that Derrick Rose was taking the league by storm that I was just a little bit out on the NBA. I was living outside of Michigan for the first time in my life, living in Missouri at the time, eventually moved to the Virgin Islands, eventually moved to Chicago in the post-Derrick Rose era. So I never covered him for the Bulls when he was playing there. But this is a Pistons era that's hugely forgettable, as you guys know. I wasn't buying league pass back then. I had a new job in Springfield, Missouri, where I was covering in charge of a newspaper coverage for the high school sports in the area, covering the whole southwest quadrant of the state of Missouri. So I'm talking about like over 200 schools that I had to learn. So I was, you know, obviously it was a full-time job, but I was like working 60, 70, 80 hours a week at the beginning, the first year that I was living there, just trying to get caught up on who these teams are, who these coaches are, sending emails to every email address that I could find at Stoutland High School, places that I've never been and will never go to. They're 2 hours away from Springfield, Missouri, and then learning more about the core inside of Missouri schools and just throwing myself into a, you can imagine what it's like. I mean, we all know, I mean, I lived in Southeast Michigan. I could talk to you about Novi High School and Chippewa Valley High School and go down river to some of those schools. It's just things you know off the top of your head. But if you've never lived in Southwest Missouri, how could you cover the high schools there? So I spent a lot of time in the office. If I'd get home late at night, I'd throw on the TNT games, the ESPN games, a lot of the Western Conference games. I wasn't watching a lot of Eastern Conference early games because it started earlier, 6 o'clock for those 7 o'clock tips in the Central Time Zone. And then with the East, it was just like, well, LeBron's on the Cavs, and they're going to win it, right? And you knew Derrick Rose was good. You saw the highlights. You saw the big stats that he was putting up. But it was kind of something that was easily ignored. Plus, it's the Chicago Bulls. So I'm a Pistons fan. I don't like the Chicago Bulls. I don't root for Derrick Rose. The Celtics are the other good team in the East. I hate them even more. I don't like Kevin Garnett. I don't like Paul Pierce. I don't like those teams. I don't even like LeBron. He ended the Pistons dynasty. So you pay attention to the Western Conference. You kind of let the Derrick Rose era, and of course you pay more attention when the playoffs start. But unfortunately for the Bulls and Derrick Rose era, they were never really able to seriously challenge LeBron James for an NBA Finals berth. So by the time it was time to start really watching the Chicago Bulls, LeBron James was out playing him. So it was just kind of, that's how it went from my perspective. And no, I knew that Derrick Rose was one of the great players of those that 5 year span or whatever it was before the injuries really took their toll. And obviously we're seeing firsthand how great he's been and a rebirth situation here with the Detroit Pistons this season. I think he's right up there in the sixth man of the year conversation, if not the front runner, if he's able to play enough games here down the stretch. And I argue that he's a guy who does not deserve to be in the All-Star game, but he's deserved to be on the bottom of those snub lists. And I know that there's probably guys like Chris that are listening to that and thinking, oh, Matt's just disrespecting him again. And maybe, or maybe he agrees, I'm not sure. But it would have been a nice story to have him back in Chicago. And if a few guys in the Eastern Conference got hurt and, you know, he was like the fourth or fifth alternate that came in, that would have been a great story. It would have been great to see. But, yeah, we just have to have an open-ended Derrick Rose conversation. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say about this episode. And, look, the Pistons are really crappy. They're terrible. We're going to have some oddball episodes 5 days a week of the Lockdown Pistons podcast here down the stretch. We're going to talk NBA draft. We're going to go back into the vault and talk about some old times, some better times for the Pistons. But I figured now that Derrick Rose is certainly with the Pistons the rest of the season, probably with the Pistons next season. Certainly there will be trade talks surrounding him this offseason and possibly into next trade deadline as well, if all goes well for Derrick Rose's health leading up to that time. I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it, that I thought the Pistons should have traded him before the deadline and gotten assets for him. I say that as what I believe is a compliment to Derrick Rose because he's playing so well that he's worth something, that he could have gotten real minutes in the playoffs for real contending type of teams. But anyway, I've said enough. We're going to let Chris come on here after the break and tell us about Derrick Rose, and enjoyed the talk with him. Thanks, Chris, for coming on and chatting D. Rose. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, we got NBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago this weekend. Derrick Rose of the Pistons was going to be involved as the All-Star Skills Challenge, but he backed out with the injury that he has and has kept him out of the last few Pistons games. But last week, I put out a call for the biggest Derrick Rose fans on the internet to get a hold of me and talk about their guy, D. Rose. I've been getting a little bit of heat on Twitter this year since he's joined the Pistons, really since this offseason, and I know a lot of Pistons Nation has come across these kind of things in the past and wanted to kind of talk about it. I know some of you have come across these D. Rose fans, and now that Derrick Rose was involved in trade rumors, but is obviously staying with the Pistons now through the rest of the season, presumably through next season as well, as he's signed for another $7 million for next season, I wanted to let the D. Rose reporters kind of have their say on the show. And I will admit that I use the term kind of derisively in the past, and that's the quote-unquote Rose stands. One of those terms that's really, you know, there's nothing wrong with it on one end, but maybe we do kind of use it tongue-in-cheek. So I want to apologize to our guest who's kind enough to join us tonight, and that is Chris Dorsey of Chicago. Chris, thanks for taking the time to join us tonight.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Ed. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I guess we could start there just because I kind of brought it up with the Rose stands thing. I would imagine that it's something that kind of and as someone who you wrote in as a big Derrick Rose fan yourself, is that something that kind of gets under your skin a little bit? And like I said, maybe didn't start on the outside as something that was derisive, but maybe kind of went to a tongue-in-cheek kind of direction. Do you kind of see it that way as well?
Oh, it definitely carries a negative connotation, the Rose stands. But the crazy thing about the Rose stands is that Derrick Rose has just as big of a group that hates him as well. I mean, he's very polarizing for whatever reason. I mean, I understand some of the reasons, but, you know, he seems that to be a good guy. I don't know him personally. But, you know, he's just a polarizing figure in the NBA, probably one of the most polarizing players ever.
Yeah. And I've met him a few times and talked to him, and he's been exceedingly polite and, you know, great to the media from my perspective, just for what it's worth, which isn't just three or four times. But Chris, you kind of wrote me and told me about your connection with Derrick Rose. And obviously you're coming to us from Chicago. Why don't you kind of explain to us, you know, when you came across him as a fan, and how you kind of followed his career these last several years?
Oh, for sure. It's been a long while. My first time seeing him play was in 2006 in Chicago. He was a junior at Simeon High School. And I was at Loyola University. Mm-hmm. They were playing at a college down the street called North Park University. And just from the layup line, you could see that this guy was special. I mean, it was ridiculous, the jaw-dropping athleticism, court vision, all those great things. And, you know, he just became one of those guys to follow. I was like, you know, one of my friends told me, he said, you're not going to believe this guy. He's unbelievable. I said, it's a high school basketball player. How good can he really be?
Right.
And it turned out to be D. Rose. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just a really fun player to watch. Even in high school, he didn't put up really gaudy numbers, but you could just see how head and shoulders he was above everyone else.
Now, obviously, he goes to Memphis and becomes the first pick in the draft, so it becomes clear that he's the best player in college basketball that season. But I don't remember back then when he was at Simeon, and obviously Simeon, one of the great programs in the country that's put out kids all over the NBA and also major college basketball as well in Chicago, one of the great places where players come out of and have come out of in the past couple decades, and several decades, I should say. But Derrick Rose coming out of Simeon, was he like the number one recruit in the country back then? I mean, was it like was Memphis getting him like the biggest thing at that time? I don't remember that.
He was his high school class was a ridiculously talented high school class. He was not the top recruit. He was a consensus top five player. Mm-hmm. But in that class, you had Kevin Love, Michael Beasley, who was a great high school player, O.J. Mayo, Eric Gordon, James Harden, Jared Bayless, a lot of NBA players were in that high school class. And Derrick was right in that mix as one of the top players. So he was a huge get. It came down to between Memphis, Indiana, and the University of Illinois. And he ended up going down to the University of Memphis.
Yeah, playing for Coach Cal and getting to the championship game there. If not for a Mario Chalmers shot, he probably has a national championship to his name as well. But so take me into the year at Memphis. And then when you find out, I'm assuming growing up in Chicago or being in Chicago that you're a Bulls fan or were a Bulls fan before this time, what was it like to find out that the Bulls would be getting the number one pick that season?
So here in Chicago, it was very split because I don't know if you remember, Michael Beasley had an amazing college season.
Right.
He had a monster year and he played in the Big 12 like Durant had the previous year. So, you know, it was kind of split, but the people from Chicago, you know, really wanted Derrick Rose. He was a hometown kid, and he was the guy that everybody had followed from his high school years on. He was Chicago's kind of prodigal son, to say the least. He won a couple state championships at Simeon High School. And so, you know, he was just the guy that the people wanted. I don't think anybody knew that he would be as good as he became when he got to the NBA. I mean, he really, really struggled, like, really badly in summer league. People were ready to write him off from jump.
But, of course, that didn't last long. I think it was year three that he wins MVP. Is that correct?
It was. He had he was on a really ridiculous trajectory. He won Rookie of the Year. Then his second year, he was an All-Star. Third year, he was the MVP of the NBA. It wasn't until his fourth year where the injury started to kind of build up. And that's, I mean, you know where he is now. One of the things about Derrick is that fourth year, he would never sit out games. He would play through everything, stomach ulcers, turf toe, and he just kept getting hurt, hamstrings, and he just, every four or five games, it was an injury, and he just would try to play through it. And it ended up culminating in tearing his ACL in game one in Chicago against Philadelphia.
Right, and we remember kind of the beginning of that being the long injuries and the knee problems that he had for years there. But kind of take me back a little bit to, you know, the era of Lual Deng and Noah and all this that, you know, the Bulls obviously were at the top of the basketball world for almost a decade there with Michael Jordan's group, but then reached the complete bottom, you know, and the baby Bulls come in and it's pretty much a failure there. What was it like to have – you know, not only a rebirth of basketball at that time, but also having it being led by the guy from the South Side of Chicago, like D. Rose.
Oh, it was so refreshing. You know, so the Baby Bulls teams that had Ben Gordon and Kirk Heinrich, those teams were really good, but, you know, they were not the most entertaining teams. They were played a kind of, you know, real grinded out style of basketball, no, you know, explosive highlight players, anything. I mean, Ben Gordon could get hot, you know, and hit 7-8 threes in a row, but he was not like a guy you would pay to go watch play basketball. So when the Bulls drafted Derrick, they only had like a 1.7% chance of drafting him. So the Bulls were supposed to pick, I believe, ninth, and they jumped up to first. Mm-hmm. So Derrick came onto a team that was better than most number one picks would typically have.
Yeah.
So in doing so, he ended up, they went, I think what put Derrick on the national scene was the first round matchup against the Boston Celtics. And that series ended up going seven games. He had 36 points and 9 assists in his first playoff game. And that is the NBA high for a rookie in his first playoff game, tied with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So that series is kind of what put Derrick on the map truly nationally for NBA fans.
And like we said, we're talking glowingly about his career, rightfully so, at the beginning parts of it, and goes on to win the MVP, youngest MVP still of all time, correct?
Correct.
Yes, and so
until Luka.
yeah, right. Yeah, possibly. We'll see how that goes down here this season. But you know, it's you reach new heights. You get to the Eastern Conference Finals. LeBron's in the way, as he is for so many teams throughout his entire career. What kind of – and obviously the injuries start piling up, a couple of seasons lost there with those for Derrick Rose. What was the last, you know, couple of years like in Chicago? Because, you know, I lived in Chicago well after Derrick Rose was gone. But, you know, there was already, even inside the city of Chicago, from what I could tell, and not people that knew him growing up, because obviously they're – going to stay loyal to him as a fan. But even within the city of Chicago and Bulls fans, there becomes a little bit of polarization, if I'm not mistaken. How did it kind of go the last few years? And what's that all about in terms of maybe a little bit of butting heads, even within the city of Chicago?
So what happened was he tore his ACL in 2012 in the playoffs.
Right.
In 2013, he missed the whole regular season. There were talks that he may come back and come back for the playoffs. He did not come back for the playoffs, and that is when – you know, people were, that's when people started to turn on him and got upset. They thought he sat out the playoffs for selfish reasons. He said his body wasn't ready and that the doctors said they cleared him to play the Bulls. I believe the Bulls leaked that out to try to force his hand, but he did not play in that, in those playoffs. I think they even won a series. They beat the New Jersey Nets, I believe, that year with Nate Robinson running the point. And it was, I mean, it was really exciting. He was really fun to watch. And so that is kind of when Derek, the love from Chicago, it just kind of, there was a huge split. The people who, you know, who were there with Derek from the jump stayed, but there were a lot of people who hopped off of that bandwagon when he did not play in those playoffs that year.
Right. I remember that now, that that the Bulls with Nate Robinson beat the Nets. I think that was still like the first year of Garnett and Pearson, those guys with the Nets as well, if I remember correctly. But so he moves on to the Knicks and into Minnesota and into Detroit as well. Do you think that there are a lot of – and first of all, let me ask you, would you say that right now that you are a bigger Derrick Rose fan than even a Chicago Bulls fan? I mean, obviously they're a team that's going through a lot of it, just like the Pistons are, with not a very good product right now and not a lot of team – not a team you want to watch night in and night out unless you're a huge – NBA diehard. Do you feel like you're a bigger Rose fan than a Bulls fan right now?
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt about that. Growing up, you know, I was a Bulls fan. You were preconditioned to be a Bulls fan. Mike, Scotty, I'm 34 years old. So, you know, I was, those were my formative years when they were at the peak of the NBA. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely. I'm a bigger Rose fan than Bulls fan today.
Do you think that there, and again, there is a little bit of that Bulls fan that maybe has a bad taste in their mouth. Like I said, probably a smaller percentage of Bulls fans that have but we saw this year with the Pistons visiting Chicago and Derrick Rose playing in that game and just the ovation that he got when he scored at the United Center. It was like the Bulls fans were cheering more for him than for Bulls baskets, even in a close game at the end. And we've seen it at him around the country to a lesser extent, obviously, but going to Mexico City for a game against the Dallas Mavericks, and Derrick Rose is getting chants that are and cheers that are just as big as Luka Doncic, who's turning himself into a global icon as well early in his career. Would you say it's accurate? And I threw this out on Twitter really early in the season that I think it was during that Bulls game actually. Do you think that there is an athlete in our era in any sport that's as connected to a city? For mostly good ways, but also, like I said, maybe a little bit of a negative baggage too in some ways. Do you think that people were throwing LeBron James and Akron at me?
Kobe.
Kobe with Los Angeles. But of course, you know, being someone who didn't grow up there, that's a little bit different. But yeah, like you said, Kobe, is there someone else? Would it be overstating it to say that he's just as connected or almost maybe more so than any other athlete?
I never thought about that to that extent, you know, because typically, you know, you connect guys like Dirk with Dallas and Kobe with, you know, L.A., Duncan with the Spurs. But just, you know, from Derrick Rose in high school and everything, I think he's even more connected than LeBron at that, mm-hmm. you know, because LeBron chose to leave Cleveland. You know, Derrick was actually forced out of Chicago. I don't think he would have ever left Chicago if he was not traded by the Bulls. But yeah, he's right there. He and LeBron are, you know, two guys. Because I mean, LeBron is not from Cleveland; he's from Akron, yeah,
right, an hour away.
Yeah, Derrick is from the heart of the city, one of the toughest parts in Chicago. So yeah, I think you may be spot on with that.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about, and as you watch Pistons games this season, obviously he's having a great year from, especially considering expectations, but even without the expectations of, you know, a bench player who might be a pretty good contributor to the Pistons, obviously exceeding that, getting into the all-star discussion here. What do you think about how he's being featured with the Detroit offense, and what do you think about how, I mean, did you expect this or even more than this or something like this for him this season?
No, I did not. And a lot of Rose fans, you know, they wanted him traded to a contender. And I'm like, this is I want Derrick to win a ring, but this is something, you know, I didn't think would ever happen again, him being, you know, a number one option and, you know, dropping game winners in an NBA game in 2020. I mean, I knew he was still a really good basketball player, but the NBA is really about opportunity and fit. And, you know, this has been a good fit with the things that have transpired, sadly, with the injuries. Because, you know, with Blake, with Reggie, with everybody healthy, you know, Derrick probably would have been coming off the bench, you know, getting 14, 15 points a game. But he wouldn't be playing the way that he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been pretty cool to watch his real rebirth. I mean, he was solid in Minnesota last year, and he even had a decent year in New York, but the expectations there were a little overwhelming. He's been putting up pretty similar numbers the last few years. His efficiency, though, has taken a pretty big jump this year, though.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who obviously is a bigger Derrick Rose fan than you are a Detroit Pistons fan, were you hoping that he would be traded at the deadline to a Lakers or Milwaukee Bucks or someone like that, a contender who could use him off the bench and have some possible big playoff moments for him?
I mean, I would love to see him in some big playoff moments, but I also saw him play in Cleveland with LeBron,
right?
And that did not work out well. So, you know, I think that Derrick is like in a headspace now where I don't know if a mid-season trade would be the best thing for him. Maybe, you know, an off-season, you know, fully wrap his head around, you know, what moving on to a new situation. But no, I was not ready to see him go mid-season at the deadline.
So guys like me that sometimes say things that irritate guys like you about Derrick Rose and other people that you see on Twitter or wherever you come across folks, NBA fans on the internet or even in, you know, real life arguments at the bar and stuff like that. What's some of the things that guys like, you know, that the critics say that you hear more consistently that bother you? What are some of the main things that are said about Derrick Rose as a player, or even as a person, that you are kind of most taken aback by?
So, I mean, one of the funny things is I was listening to your first podcast when Derrick got traded to the Pistons, and you're like, he's not a guy Detroit can root for. I'm like, what does that mean? He plays hard. Teammates are, you know, nobody's ever said a bad thing about him. Coaches, teammates, you know, they all speak glowingly of him. I mean, if you see the reaction when he had his 50-point game in Minnesota, I mean, I don't think the streaming of, you know, the tweets, congratulatory tweets from NBA players, from LeBron to D-Wade to Dame Lillard, you know, all those guys have, high respect for Rose. So that perplexed me. I mean, he's fun to watch, even without, you know, playing above the rim like he used to. He's still one of the more exciting guards to watch in the NBA. I mean, his ability to finish with both hands and some ridiculous English and things like that. One of the other things that I have found pretty funny the last few weeks is, watching Reggie. And Reggie's a really, really good player. But, you know, people say he commands an offense better than Derrick. But I just have not seen that. I haven't seen him be this much better pick and roll guard or creator for others. And, you know, people are saying, can we sign Reggie back at a cheaper deal? But they want to discard Derrick. That's something else that I've seen, you know, on Pistons Twitter. And not necessarily you, but some of the other bloggers with the platform have, you know, been throwing that out.
Yeah.
And the Pistons, I mean, offense with Derrick, at one point he had, when he was on the floor, the Pistons had, like, the highest rated offense in the NBA. I mean, he's created the second most corner threes in the NBA behind LeBron. So, I mean, he's not, you know, people say he's a very selfish player, but I mean, he's really been creating for others. The young guys, I mean, seem to play with him really well. You look at Bruce has even taken some of his moves this year. So, I mean, the young guys, Speed has played well with him. Luke has played well with him. Wood has played well with him. All those guys seem to have gained confidence, you know, with that bench role, playing with Rose early in the season. And it has carried on throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll fess up to it that I was kind of number one for guys that they should have traded Derrick Rose. And I said it over and over again leading up to the deadline. And I consider that a compliment to Derrick Rose because his value was so high that it was worth trading him. You could get something for him. And I know there's a debate. It's a sliding scale about, you know, I think it was a little absurd. The Pistons were only holding out for a lottery pick. There's no, you know, world where that's going to happen for a guy as well as Derrick Rose has played, obviously. And rightfully so, teams weren't offering that lottery pick. But, you know, that first, if it was a late first round pick or what I talked about maybe a couple of quality seconds and another possible young player being possible packages for him. What did you think about, you know, that kind of thing, the trade value aspect of it? What would you have done if you were a Pistons GM and those kind of packages were presented to you?
I mean, as a GM, I think you would have to take the best deal for your team. I mean, I do think Derek has another probably, I mean, he's 31, probably 2-3 years playing at a relatively high level. But, I mean, if you could have gotten the first one, you know, I probably would have made that deal. But, I mean, he's good veterans. And Derek, by all accounts, is a great locker room guy. He's on a cheap deal. And he seems to really enjoy being in Detroit. I mean, it's not a huge media market, so he can kind of fly under the radar, even though he has brought a lot of attention to Detroit. I have not seen, you know, I watch a lot of ESPN, NBA TV, and they have not talked about the Pistons as much, you know, recently as until Derek got there this year. So wherever he goes, there is going to be, you know, some media attention, but it is not overwhelming like, say, he was in New York or LA or one of those larger markets.
Yeah, and I think it's on the court, obviously, a feel-good story that everyone is happy about, and a couple of game winners and a couple of more clutch shots that he's hit this season as well. But you brought up kind of some of the numbers about the offensive efficiency when he's on the court, and obviously he has a very high usage number. What would you say to someone like me who says, and I would never argue that Reggie Jackson's a better player or anything like that, but and not Reggie Jackson as an example in this type of argument, but then that maybe that if there was a different type of point guard out there that was more of a like you said, he's a good facilitator. The assist numbers are certainly there as well in some regards, but the high usage, having the ball in his hands as much as he does on an offensive possession, do you think that there's some merit to the argument that there should be you know, maybe a veteran point guard that's a different type of guard that maybe could help these young guys develop a little bit more? Or do you think that that's a little bit of a misguided argument as well?
I mean, where are those guards? Who are those guards? I mean, you look at a guy like even Ish, who didn't put up the volume scoring numbers that Derek did, nor the assist numbers. Or, I mean, who are those guards? I mean, I think Derek is probably top 25 in assists, and that's playing, you know, 25 minutes a game. So I don't know, you know, what exact – I mean, it seems the offense flows. Guys are put in good spots with Derek, so I don't see what the real issue is. I've wondered that. Like, what is the issue? Luke is getting his shots. All those guys are getting their shots. I mean, I guess the game-winning, you know, possessions, you know, that was an issue at one point. But I don't see what the issue – I mean, if you get a good point guard in this league most of the time, they are going to be a scoring point guard. There are not too many Rondos that are leading teams. It just does not happen anymore. So even if you get a guard to replace Derek in the draft, they're going to be typically a scoring point guard with a high usage.
Right. Yeah, and you talked about the end-of-the-game situations. I think that there's guys like me out there that would rather have, you know, the young guys even try and fail at the end of games as opposed to Derrick Rose and now Reggie Jackson kind of taking those shots at the end of the games. But obviously those guys are the two best options because they're the two best creators on the team right now. So it's kind of a catch-22 for the Pistons right now. But I guess my point being that, you know, for Bruce Brown to take the next level, for Svi Mykhailiuk to take the next level, and not that Svi is going to be a guy you feature over and over again offensively, but that you would want the ball in their hands, you want to run possessions through them, and it's not going to be pretty a lot of times. And obviously Derrick Rose is going to get you better results here in 2020. But as you look ahead, that maybe that could be something that the Pistons could help their rebuild move along.
I mean, I totally see where you're coming from. Bruce has played well at the one. He's, you know, he's better at the one than he is at the two, but he's played a really solid two with Derek. And, you know, they seem to play pretty well off each other. And Svi as a ball handler, I'm not a huge fan of his ball handling. I think he is a great shooter that, you know, off a shot fake, you know, can create a shot. But I don't know if he's someone you want initiating offense like you would say a Luke. But I just feel the touches thing is overblown. I think development is just, you know, I think that the young guys have been developing just fine. I mean, you look at a game like last night, I mean, and that was a miserable game to watch. What did they score? 76 points.
Yeah. 76.
I mean, yeah, if that's what people want to watch and call it development, I don't know if that is truly developing players.
Right.
A game like that. You need to be playing quality basketball to develop. You don't just develop getting your head beat in over and over again.
Yeah. But I guess, Chris Dorsey, before we let you go, I mean, I think I'd be not doing my job if I didn't ask about the off-the-court stuff as well. The rape claim against Derrick Rose and his friends was found not credible in 2016, you know, winning the civil trial. But, you know, you and I read the details of the case, what was alleged, first of all. Just kind of an ugly scene in a world, you know, sadly, where too many of these types of stories are out there. What's your reaction to how people reacted to that situation? Is that something where I'm assuming you followed the case pretty closely? And what do you think that, and like you said, if on that first show after they signed Derrick Rose, I said something like it's hard to root for him, I would imagine that it had something to do with the off the court stuff, as opposed to a player that I have only known to be someone who works hard and really someone you want to root for in terms of a guy coming back from all these injuries on the court. But what do you think about that case and how it's kind of been handled by talking heads and even some fans out there as well?
You know, I mean, that's such a slippery slope, mm-hmm. especially in this climate, the Me Too climate.
Sure.
You know, he was found not liable. Some of the details of the case, you know, I think it's a lot of him not being, you know, quite educated and the way he presented himself on the stand. Some of the details were not pretty. However, you know, if you read deeper into the case, I'm not justifying anything that mm-hmm. took place. I don't know what took place. Nobody knows what took place.
And it's a tough question for me to ask you. I completely understand that. And I get
it. Yeah. But the case was thrown out. He was not found liable. They appealed it. I mean, there have been text messages saying it was, you know, her friends and, you know, it was a money grab. So you don't know. I mean, you don't know. So I don't know how you can call somebody, you know, a sexual offender if they were found not liable. I thought it was innocent until proven guilty. I mean, and this was a civil trial. It was not even a criminal trial. Right. The result would have been him paying her $21 million. I mean, so like you said, with sexual assault there, I mean, those cases are so difficult to prove, but I mean, he was found not liable. So,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's obviously, slippery slope, like you said. I mean, if something happened, like maybe have happened, that's a horrible situation for the young lady. And, however it happened, maybe it's something that, worked out in a bad way for the image of Derrick Rose, unfortunately for him. So
exactly. I mean, had he paid her and, you know, under the table, I mean, this would have never come out. And, sure. you know, but he wanted to prove his innocence and that he was not, you know, had not done anything, and in turn ended up kind of smearing his own image.
Well, Chris Dorsey, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us here. I just kind of wanted to give the biggest Rose fans that I could find kind of their say. And Pistons fans obviously have enjoyed him on the court this year. And, you know, he will become more part of this organization as time goes on. So I figured it would be good for us to kind of go back a little bit and also hear from some of the big allies and fans of him out there in the world. I promise we won't use the Rose Stands moniker anymore here on the show. How about that? And wanted to give you the last word. Is there anything else that we haven't touched upon that is something you wanted to say or dispute or anything like that about Derrick Rose as a Piston or bad in the past?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I enjoy it. I listen to the show every morning on my ride into work. So, you know, I appreciate you having me on and giving me a platform because I don't have a ton of followers. I got maybe 600 followers on Twitter. But I have a lot of avid Rose fans as followers. So, you know, they'll definitely appreciate this.
Well, I appreciate that. Christian MD, just as it sounds, 85. Christian MD, 85 on Twitter. And that's Chris Dorsey from Chicago. Appreciate you listening. Spread the word to the Rose fans. Tell me I'm not as bad. Tell them I'm not as bad of a guy as maybe I seem sometimes. How about that?
We'll do, man. Have a great one, man.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again to Chris Dorsey. We went long, so we'll wrap it up right now. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying enjoy the game against the Magic tonight. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.